Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 134th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Steph Hayden Nwimitoni. Steph is in Portland, Maine. She arrived here in November 2015 with her family from Burundi. She used her English skills to quickly navigate their new community. Presently, just 2 years later, Steph is a junior at Casco Bay High School. I met with her first when she contacted me about doing a week-long internship this past winter, and you may recognize her voice today if you heard the New Mainers Speak she hosted on February 12th when she interviewed Bertrand Misero, with minimal support from me. And now it's time for Steph to be the guest today, and welcome back to New Mainers Speak.
Thank you so much. It is a pleasure.
So, Steph, what can you tell us about your family structure and what your family's lives looked like roughly 2 years ago before you left Burundi?
So I'm the firstborn in a family of four children, and my siblings and I have been very blessed to still have my parents take care of us. And my life in Burundi, my life 2 years ago, was very different from what it is now or what I had envisioned before coming here in America. My family left Burundi in November of 2015 for the U.S., and was during a political crisis. It's when the government began brutalizing the people, like daily life became dangerous. And, you know, all the schools were closed in Bujumbura, so we had, my family and I, had to move to Rwanda. And just for my siblings and I to really continue our studies. And but then life was very expensive in Rwanda, so my mother had to return to Burundi. But then my siblings and I had to stay in Rwanda at a boarding school.
That must have been a little scary for you all.
It was
so dangerous in Bujumbura, Burundi, that you need to leave.
Yeah.
And you leave, but your parents are both back in Burundi while they have you in a boarding school
right.
in Rwanda.
It was. It's just not an easy transition to do. And, like, it was our first time experiencing being in a country that is not yours and, like, you know, just being an immigrant. It's a strange feeling. But then we had much support. Our aunt was married there, and she had a home, so we could go by every weekend to, you know, stay there for some time and go back to our boarding school. And it was not lonely, because many young people fled over to Rwanda, so the boarding schools were pretty much filled.
I'm sure they were. You know, I'm kind of curious what it might feel like to be from Burundi and move to Rwanda as an immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
How different are those countries? How did you notice that you weren't in your home country?
They're not very different. They're very similar instead. And we have almost the same language. We could understand each other very well. But then they could recognize we were Burundian. And it was just, I remember, like, meeting Burundian people in Rwanda was just so amazing. You felt different, you know, some good feeling, because it was like meeting your brother in another country. And it felt good, but it was not different. They were very welcoming, and, like, all you needed to do was, like, learning how to create good relationship with your surroundings, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so your parents were running a business back in Burundi.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us what your parents did for work?
My father is an engineer in computer science, and he worked with my mother, and they ran a business, and they sold computers and, like, worked with other companies. Yeah, so that's what I would say about it.
Big business in Burundi.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, can you tell us what life was like in Burundi for your family before things became so unsettled?
I personally enjoyed life in Burundi. You know, plus home is always home, except you only know until you leave.
That's right. You hardly know what normal is until you see what's not normal.
Yeah. Burundi's natural beauty offers so much. We have lakes, rivers, reserves, grasslands, national parks, waterfalls. We have so much. And it is home to, various species. And it is also like it is the heart of Africa because of its shape on the map.
Yeah, it actually looks like a heart.
Right.
In kind of the heart of Central Africa.
Yeah, right. And we have, I don't know if you've heard about, have you heard of Lake Tanganyika?
Sure.
Yeah, Lake Tanganyika and the drums are probably its major sources of tourism. And I guess Burundi is well known by that. There are some good schools in Burundi, but all of them are not affordable, you know. And if we take a look at the education system in Burundi and compare it to here, you know, it is much better here. And, Burundi is just a small place where everyone knows each other. And it is one of those places where I really didn't have to care about the color of my skin or, we're just all eco, even at school. And we were raised in such a unique way where they had to keep us modest. You know, it was such a unique way that I personally loved it because it is what made us who we are now and what keeps us going, even in other countries, you know.
How did they do that? How do you achieve that culturally, a sense of modesty?
I'm not sure how to, you know, describe that in words, but I think just really making everyone feel equal. For example, in schools, we wore uniforms, and I asked that one day, and they told me that the reason why like people had to wear like uniforms was simply because they needed children to feel equal, you know. They didn't want anybody to feel
left out.
Yeah,
kind of a rich and a poor kind of thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
that's a great example, school uniforms. Mm-hmm. I also hear from some people that when they're applying for a job, you know, here they have to say, and I'm fabulous at, and that just is so not how mm-hmm. they were raised, mm-hmm. uncomfortable, tooting your own horn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when you talk about your lives back in the Lakes region of Central Africa, I'm aware of your privilege in terms of hired help, such as a gardener, a driver, cook, help with the herd of 80 cattle, etc. And it sounds like you were always surrounded by people in that environment. And I wonder what it's been like for you to go from such a high status lifestyle to such a much more modest one here in such a totally different environment.
You know, it's not a not so easy transition. I would say it's a learning process, and I guess for every immigrant. But I acknowledge that there is worse to what I had experienced here in America. And, again, I was lucky enough to have my parents with me and, like, some of my friends who come alone and find themselves with lots of responsibilities. And, I had to learn how to work hard and how to be independent and how to develop great relationships with the people who was surrounding me. And like I said, there are some people who go through so much, and I do not mean to speak badly of immigrants, but I believe such experiences are what shape us. And my parents, when we came here, and like as my parents were trying to adjust to life here, I realized more and more that they did not have the power they had in Burundi. like, you know, in America, they were just immigrants, you know. And I began to accept that my parents could not speak for me sometimes. And, you know, I was trying to find my voice and, like, speak for myself and, like, just really being independent and, like, acknowledging that things have changed.
Yeah, I think a great example of that is, you know, you were on the radio here
right.
before, and I
yeah.
asked you, oh, did your mom listen? And uh-huh. you said my mom did listen, but she didn't understand all of the
mm-hmm.
conversation.
Right.
And so you're doing things that she can't pay attention to, so you're needing to be really responsible for yourself, aren't you?
Right, yeah.
Who do you think the move has been the hardest on in your family? Who suffered the most by changing cultures so dramatically?
I believe my mother. She works really hard, and you know, just seeing her walk late and like you know, coming back home in the dark and the cold, it's just it hurts me personally as her daughter. But I think she's doing so much good work, and like she's a hard worker. I just really appreciate her. Accepting everything that comes her way, and you know, she's both a provider and like a full-time mom. You know, she takes good care of us, and you know, raising four kids alone is not an easy thing to do. And you know, she still works and does her best to satisfy us.
She's working in a position far beneath her training,
right? Yeah,
which is such a common immigrant story.
Yeah.
Must be very humbling for her.
Yeah, it is. And I believe for every immigrant that comes here.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have responsibilities in your home that you find that your American peers don't have?
Yeah, I believe just really speaking for my parents. They do not speak that good English. And sometimes, you know, I had to step up and speak for them. And, like, reading emails for my mom, you know, speaking for her at the hospital and, like, doing all those things. It's just really not a thing that every American does, I believe so. And, you know, just speaking for my parents and, like, taking good care of my brothers and sister, yeah.
Do you go to doctor's appointments and do some translating, that kind of thing?
Yes, I do sometimes when I'm not at school. And, you know, I go with my mom and speak for her sometimes, you know, because I think she feels much better when she's with someone she has confidence in.
I bet she's come to rely on you in ways she
right.
never expected she would, a 17-year-old.
Uh-huh.
Or
yeah.
18, I think you
yeah.
just turned 18.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
yeah. So what kinds of things do you miss about your life in Burundi and Rwanda?
I miss everything in Burundi. I miss the people, my other family, our moments together, the culture, the weather, especially now
the
spring.
The weather.
Yeah.
Because it's darn near perfect there as
right.
far as I can tell.
Yeah. But, you know, I do not regret being here. I strongly believe that I wouldn't be the person I'm becoming now if I stayed there. Plus, I think I love my country more now that I'm out of it, but I hope to go back there someday.
I hope you get to.
Uh-huh.
If you are just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. My guest today is Steph Hayden Nwimitoni. She may only have been in this country for 2 years, but she is as busy as can possibly be, and she's still only a high school junior. Steph, can you tell us about your courses that you're taking at Casco Bay High School this year?
I'm taking junior courses, not, you know, English, some, you know, junior courses, but I'm thinking about, you know, taking some college classes in my senior year, and, you know, it's not an easy thing to do when you have just, you know, transferred from another country and like from another school, because I started at Daring High School. And, you know, it's just, it gets busy and sometimes I get lazy too, but yeah.
So it sounds like you're not in English language learning classes, that you're mainstreamed in serious college prep classes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what about clubs and sports and extracurricular activities? What do you do when you're not in classes?
I have this program that happens every Tuesday. It's the Telling Room.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I wonder if listeners know what that is.
Yeah, it's a program for international multilingual high school students. And we do lots of creative writing. We perform and we do some college preparation. And we also share stories, which last forever and get published in books. And it's when I found myself interested in spoken word that I figured that the Telling Room could be a great opportunity for me to put my thoughts on the paper. And we're having a live storytelling event this coming Tuesday.
Oh, really? Where's that going to be?
At the Portland Museum of Arts Bernard Osherd Auditorium from 4 to 6 p.m.
So Portland Museum of Art,
uh-huh.
4 to 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday?
And Thursday.
Tuesday and Thursday.
Yeah.
Great. So you'll be standing up at the microphone and telling your stories to
right.
the crowd?
Yeah.
That takes a lot of courage, doesn't mm-hmm. it?
Yeah, it is.
That's a big part of that program, though, I think. Mm-hmm. Getting out there and not just getting clear on what your story is, but then sharing it.
Yeah.
Wow. I think that's great. Are there particular people at Casco Bay High School who've been especially supportive and encouraging to you as you've been in school there?
I would definitely say that everyone is supportive and encouraging at Casco Bay, but I'd mostly give a quick shout out to my two English teachers. Miss Har is just amazing. She's the one that told me about you, and there are no words to describe how comprehensive and friendly and lovely she is to each of her students. And, you know, sometimes I lack words to describe how grateful I am. And, just to have some a new family at Casco. And I would also give a shout out to Miss McCray. And she's my other English teacher. You know, she's just amazing. She has, she read into my soul. And since my struggle while we were reading this book, it was about a story of a Sudanese child refugee who came to the U.S. And, you know, she saw that I was connecting with the story and helped me, like, find ways to express myself, even though I hadn't confided in her. And it was just crazy, you know, seeing so much support from your teachers, which, you know, I hadn't experienced in Burundi, even though I was at an English school before. You know, it's just different, you know, at Casco. They're just very supportive and loving.
I'm so happy to know that the teachers don't only do a fabulous job of teaching you, but also mm-hmm. really identify, get to know you right. as a human being and mm-hmm. help you through struggles and mm-hmm. toward things that might be useful to you. That's really... That's a very high level of education.
Yeah, it is.
I'm so glad for you. And Casco Bay High School is unusual, too, in that it's a expeditionary learning school. So you do rather project-centered learning,
right.
don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any projects coming up this spring?
Yeah, we're going to Detroit in about 2 weeks now. And we'll be, you know, doing some documentary about, like, the people who live there and how life is there, really, since Detroit has some, you know, pretty interesting history.
I love that you go to Detroit.
Right.
It does. It has fabulous art, fabulous music,
mm-hmm.
has all that production, mm-hmm. and then it has that desperate fall off of production.
Yeah, I'm very excited to, you know, experience going in another state and, like, seeing how other people live.
You'll be great at interviewing them, having a little interview skills under your belt and knowing a little bit about storytelling. I bet you'll be able to really foster good relationships and draw them out.
Yeah, I can't wait.
That sounds great. Mm-hmm. How lucky. And can you tell us about the culture of your school? Who hangs out with whom? Do foreign-born and Maine-born kids all hang out with each other, or do people tend to stick into groups from their countries of origin? What do you observe?
Yeah, I personally hang out with the people I share the culture with during my lunch. But Costco is so good at, you know, putting everyone together. And, like, we have some time where we get together with other classmates. And, you know, you don't only get to hang out with the people you share cultures with. You know, you hang out with everyone. It's not, you know, you get together with everyone. And everyone is so friendly, so you don't feel left out.
Mm-hmm. Casco Bay High School has a lottery system. Mm-hmm. And so there's a little bit of luck. But it's people who want to do projects together, so that must be having a nice effect.
Right.
Building a culture where everyone's accepted. Mm-hmm. Love to hear it. Mm-hmm. You all have organized rallies, too, haven't you, to support the superintendent? I thought there was a rally after that incident out in front of the school.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. A really politically active school.
Right.
Yeah. They teach you how to do it, and then you do it on your own.
Yeah.
It's impressive. Yeah. I understand you're participating in the Young Writers and Leaders program through Telling Room. Mm-hmm. What are they looking for from you?
Really just you expressing yourself and telling your story. They're looking for you to get your voice out and, like, speak for yourself. And that's what I was looking for, too. You know, some people who help you, you know, rise up and, like, speak for yourself and, like, you know, share your story and, like, get heard. So, really, they're just looking for you to, you know, feel welcomed.
Do your parents understand what it is you're doing with them?
Yeah, I try to explain to them.
And how do they feel about it?
They feel good because, you know, just hearing that your child is welcome in the community and, like, that your child is getting much support, even though you can't, you know, express yourself and try to speak for your child. It's just amazing, you know, having people who help you educate and, like, raise your children.
They must be so proud of you for having the skills and the courage to do both of those things. You said to me at one point that you wished that everyone could travel and see other realities. I wonder why you said that. What do you think might happen if people were to have that kind of experience?
I think having a taste of multiple things can change our perspectives of the world. And, you know, we would realize that life is a wonderful gift to have. And I personally learned from it. You know, I found a new purpose. It made me appreciate my home more. And I realized that we all share similar needs. And, you know, the world could become a better place if we stepped out a little and put ourselves in somebody else's shoes. You know, I think we would cultivate the love that needs to be cultivated. And we could live in peace and, you know, love.
Wow. I think more travel, if we could do more of that. More peace and love sounds really good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. About this time next year, you'll be closing in on graduation from high school. And of course, that's a long way off and you can't actually know what lies beyond that. But if you could make anything happen, what would you make your dreams look like? What do you want more of in your future?
I'm planning to go to college after high school. I think just really contributing to the economy of my country. And, like, helping the ones that need support and love back home. You know, I'm planning on just really going back. You know, I would love to stay here and work here. but I'm not decided yet, you know.
You don't have to know at 18.
Yeah, one never knows.
But you have a longing to connect these two cultures.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And maybe a little journalism?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really interested in that. And I'm also interested in computer science.
Must run in your family.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know.
I bet your family would be very happy to see you do some computer science. Maybe you could find a way to bridge those two worlds through that business.
Yeah.
You could have the American branch here and your parents could have the Bujumbura branch.
Sure, yeah. One never knows.
Right? Mm-hmm. Steph, you are a truly remarkable young woman. You have witnessed a major transformation in your family, moving from one continent to another. And I have loved getting to work with you and wish you the best in your education and your career and all things beyond that. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you so much for being so supportive and, like, you know, getting back to me every day.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. I love working with young people, especially people who have guts and won't put themselves out there.
Yeah.
Makes it easy.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening. Please join us each week for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. If you would like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please visit newmainerspeak.com. And you can check out more related information on facebook.com/newmainerspeak. New Mainers Speak is also rebroadcast each Monday at 4:30 p.m. on WERU-FM. So hello, Blue Hill and Bangor. And I'm Kate Manahan, in the studio with my guest Steph Hayden-Nwimitoni. Steph, will you introduce the song you've selected for today's program and why you chose it?
The song is Ngombuyekuona I Burundi, and the title really means, like, I miss seeing Burundi, and it's by Lion Story, and I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you. What a beautiful title for you.
Right.
Manga udukure muraya mahanga tujabutsi imanga udukure muraya mahanga uko abikoreya bisiraye uko abikoreya bisiraye uko abikoreya bisiraye uko abikoreya bisiraye Sekoni mipanga, bungira mumahanga, au vita imanamba, nimba, churi nimba, jausi imanga, utu kure muraya mahanga. Fati jangozi, umbu ye kubonu Burundi, umbu ya kawoga kibugarama, umbu ye kubonu Burundi. Nababyeyi nta kintu kibabaza kuba kure y'umuryango nta kintu kibabaza kuba mu buhungiro birababaza bigatunuza birababaza bigatunuza Shikanje, mumbuye na babanyi,
ubu nibereye mu buhungiro ubu nibereye mu mahanga ubu nibereye mu buhungiro tuhangayikira mu mahanga
buya ibiyaga by'i Burundi buya gatimbo k'i Burundi buya indagara z'i Burundi buya inyaburage z'i Burundi
Koja agiye kuza Humuriza abana b'Abarundi Ko Rastafari agiye kuza
Rastafari, Rastafari Araje kutuohoza Uhoraho, uhoraho
Araje kutuohoza Ja, Rastafari Ja, Rastafari Rastafari Ja
Umbuye kubona Burundi umbuye kuba mu Burundi umbuye kubona Burundi umbuye kuba mu Burundi
umbuye gufata ijyarumonge umbuye kubona Burundi umbuye gufata ijyakayanza Gabiro, umbuye kubona Burundi, umbuye gusumba mu magaramba, umbuye kubona Burundi, umbuye guca mu Kamenge,